This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Clap, 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 clap your hands and stomp your feet. You're listening to the Clap Your Hands podcast, hosted by Elliot Shore-Parks and Kyle Newbeck. Here they come.
Well, all right, so that was the next question I had, and it segues perfectly off the top. But I'm just being honest with myself, right? When we started this pod, it was they have to get out of the second round. Nothing matters. Only the playoffs. Who cares? Who cares what they do in the regular season? Only the second round matters. I'm being completely honest. I'm like shifting off that a little bit. Embiid has been The team has been really special. Harden's playing well. Doc's doing a great job. Maxey looks great. There's a world where they can lose in the second round, and this season is still a success. If you think about the fact that the Bucks are really good, the Celtics are falling off, so you could debate that one a little bit. But let's say they do, and it's unlikely they face the Bucks in the second round, but let's say they do face the Bucks and they lose a really tight series, or the Celtics for what it's worth. Are you still at the point where it's a failure if they don't get out? Like, is the level Embiid is playing and the job Doc's doing and how good's Harden looking, is that changing things for you? Because on a certain sense, it is silly to have the entire season be dictated off of, you know, games 5, 6, 7 or whatever of a second round series. Like, are you still at the point where they have to get out the second round?
Yes. I mean, it's a results business.
Why?
That it's a results business. Like, this is it. So I think in a sport like football, I think you'd have a better argument where single elimination really skews things. Like, there are a lot of years where the best team does not win the Super Bowl, that there are fluke runs and there's just a bad matchup or whatever it is. But when you have a 7-game series to prove you're the best team, we can't sit here and say, hey, Joel might be the best player in the world, that James might be the second best player in, you know, not every series, but a lot of these series.
Yeah.
And if not, he's at least one of the top three guys. And say that Tyrese is great and the bench is better and say all these things and then be like, well, they have an excuse to lose and it's fine.
Like, well, but the best three teams in the league might be in the East. It's not like,
that's,
you know,
true, but like, yeah. Look, you have to find a way to get it done. And if it's a failure of the best player, if it's a failure of the coach, if it's a combination of factors, whatever it is, it's going to be a failure if they can't get out of the second round again. And I think one of the biggest reasons to be a failure is if you lose in the second round, I know that I've poo-pooed the idea of Harden going to Houston. Aren't you opening the door for Harden to be like, well, if I can't even get out of the second round with as good as we've been, what the fuck am I doing here?
You're preaching to the choir. I've always said, I think Harden's probably going to Houston no matter what. Like, I look, there's a chance he stays for sure. But that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, I think a few weeks ago, if they would have lost in the second round, we would have both sat here and made a legitimate argument. Fire Doc. You don't want Harden back anyway. You have to kind of reshuffle the cards in a lot of ways, right? Now I think this team is legit really good. Like, this team could play in whatever how many seasons you want to say and have a chance to win the title every single year. I think the way it's stacking up this year, the way it's stacking up for them is the other two teams that are probably the other two best teams in the NBA are right in front of them, right? So if they lose in the second round and Harden is willing to come back, we can get into the contract implications. There is a world where the team we're watching could win it next year. Like, there is. Whereas before, I think the perception or the assumption was if they lose in the second round, it's because this collection isn't good enough. I don't think that's the case anymore. And again, they could get to the playoffs and Harden could be terrible. And then we have that conversation. But if they play their A game and just lose, I'm more okay than I used to be with just running it back because we're seeing this team is really good.
Well, so here is the really the problem with that logic. Then what is the case for them winning at any point in the near to midterm? Because Milwaukee's core, like Giannis is essentially the same age as Joel. Tatum and Brown are younger than both of the Sixers stars. So the Celtics core guys are going to get better. Giannis is going to be at roughly the same level as Joel, you know, until their careers are over.
Right.
So if they can't beat them right now with Joel at like absolute apex, and we say, you know, as Joel hits his 30s, with all the health issues he's had relative to Giannis, he will probably decline quicker than Giannis will. Like, that's just probably the reality.
I agree with that.
Their state of their health and, you know, how they play and what have you. So if they can't beat them right now, you could go into this offseason saying they're probably just never going to beat either of these teams.
Well, like, but I don't know. My counter to that is, so what? You make the team worse on purpose? Like we know that they're really good like this. And I think that sometimes, to your point, football is single elimination. So there is more, I don't want to use the term luck, but Jalen Hurts drops a football. He never drops all season. They lose by three. Like, stuff like it that happens in a single elimination. So you're right.
It's just flukier. There's a lot more. You're inviting more chaos into how
it is. But you can also argue that if you have a team, like, however you want to rank the Bucks, let's say, just for argument's sake, the Bucks are a 10 out of 10, even though they're not. But let's just say they are. The Sixers are not lower than an 8.5, 9. I mean, they are right there, right? You can make the argument if they played the Bucks in however many 10 seven game series, it might be 5-5 or 6-4, right? So to your thing about if they can't win now, they can't win next year, I'm not really sure if that's the case, because, and you don't want to plan it this way, but who knows? Like, Tatum injures himself, Giannis gets hurt. I just don't see how, when we look at how well they're playing right now, like, what are the moves you make then this offseason where you go, I feel better about this team? Like, Bradley Beal, Zach LaVine. I mean, there's not, you know, and I guess guys always pop up, but I don't see it. I used to be where I would just blow it up to blow it up. I get your point about the frustration, but part of me thinks they're like, they've already shown they're good enough to run it back, even if whatever happens in the playoffs.
So I think the easy answer to that is you trade Tobias for, you know, multiple better fitting role players.
Yeah, and maybe I don't know.
You change the coach.
I don't know if I consider Tobias the core anymore, though. Like, when I say blow it up, I mean Harden, Maxey, and Embiid, Doc. Like, if you move.
No, I mean, look, I see your point in the sense that, like, you could justify bringing back James, Joel, and Tyrese and say those are our three main guys. But here's the other thing. You brought up James. Are we sure he's ever going to have a season as good as this again?
Well, that's a fair question too. Yeah.
Because this is, I pulled up Basketball Reference real quick. This is the single best three-point shooting season he's ever had. He is equal to his best efficiency from three, and he's doing it on not quite double the volume, but the last time he shot this high from three, he was 22 years old in Oklahoma City. And he's only shooting 4.7 threes a game. He's shooting 7.3 threes a game, making the same amount. It's almost certain that he's going to be worse shooting the basketball next year. And so then you have to think about, you know, how much more does the other stuff matter? How much does the explosiveness and the finishing at the rim and all that stuff? And look, that stuff has been better than it was last year, right? Where he hit a nadir for his career. He physically looked off the pace. And I do think he has bounced back in a way that I am confident saying, you know, he's going to be very good over the next however many years. But if we say, like, this is the career shooting year, and this is probably, it might be the last truly great James Harden season left. Like, we don't know. He could very well come back next year, be just as good, whether it's here or elsewhere. But it's also possible that he'll be 34 years old and he's just not going to play this well again.
Well, but all right. So, I agree that his burst to the rim has been better than it was last year. And that is something you worry about falling off. But I'll ask you this. Like, do you think the shooting percentage is higher because it's just one of those years? And I know three-point shooting can be, you know, up and down. or do you think he's taking different kinds of shots? Like, it does feel like he's catching.
That's definitely some of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't see why that would change next year. And I do think his, what's made him special this year is he's been an outstanding playmaker, and that's not really predicated on athleticism. Now, you have to be able to get to the rim and shoot well to be as efficient as a playmaker, as Ben found out, right? But I mean, ultimately, to your point, you don't know, but I don't think his game is really predicated on athleticism as much as maybe other players' games are.
Yeah, it's more strength than it is, you know, speed and pace. So
and like basketball smarts too. You know, like, I think just you're seeing the result of playing in the league for however many years he has. Like, he knows how to be really smart with his movements. He doesn't waste steps, certainly not on defense. Like, you know, I think so from that respect. His game does kind of age well, almost like a wine, like a hardened wine, one might say.
Yeah. So I guess I just worry that if you don't do it this year, not only are you looking at the big picture and saying, well, Giannis is this old and Tatum and Brown are this old and they still have all this runway in front of them, you're also thinking about, is the window for the Sixers shrinking just in general? Like, even if we set aside, you know, all the other stuff, because Maxey's about to get paid. So you're not getting salary relief when Tobias's contract comes off of the books, unless you're making some kind of big trade. This right. is, you're largely kind of, this core is the core, unless you're willing to go and make a big splashy move this offseason or in the years to come. So yeah, I think they have to, you have to get to the conference finals, even if it's just a mental thing. Like, again, it's the same thing with the Celtics thing. It's less that I think winning it or getting to the conference finals this year is like that this year is more important than any other season, where I agree with you. There's luck that comes into everything. Milwaukee's run to the title when they won it, they were fortunate with a bunch of different injury luck. And there's some things that broke their way. Like
the Raptors, after the Warriors got hurt in the finals or whatever it was.
Or like Kevin Durant's foot being on the line in that Milwaukee series. If Kevin Durant doesn't step on the line and the Nets win that series, not only are the Bucks, like, the Bucks' future is much different. We might be talking about the Brooklyn Nets with KD, Kyrie, and James Harden as like defending champions, and, you know, they turn into a mini dynasty because things don't go haywire the way they did. Like, you never, there's so many.
Or Giannis isn't in Milwaukee. Like, there's all types of.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but that's why I think it matters to get a run under your belt, because at a certain point, these guys are going to hit the wall of, and maybe Joel hits the wall and says, I just want to see something different. Like, we have not been given an indication that he's itching to leave or anything like that. But if you just look at the history of the league, as many guys say, I want to be this place forever. I want to be with this team and win here and stay here to the end of my career. There are only so many humiliating or crushing playoff defeats that happen before that guy comes back and says, you know what? I just need to see something different. Like, I just, I want to go elsewhere. I want to play with somebody different, have different management, different coach, whatever it is. And this organization will do whatever it takes to try to avoid that in terms of moving people in and out. But there always is a shelf life if you can't get it done in the playoffs.
I just think what you're describing is more change for the sake of change, as opposed to change because it's needed. Now, that can be okay too. Like, when you look at the Eagles losing Super Bowl last year, I think there's a good argument for getting as many new starters as you can, simply so you're not carrying the baggage of losing that game. Much like the Sixers are carrying maybe more baggage than any team in professional sports with all these like second round losses, right? But I think, again, that's change for the sake of change more than this roster is not good enough. Because this roster is good enough. It is. Like, they might not win it, but this combination, this team, this version of Joel, this Harden, like, they are good enough. So I think that's been my biggest change over the last month, is I used to need to see it. Now, if they don't do it, I agree with your point. Joel probably is frustrated. Maybe it's just change for the sake of change. And maybe Doc gets fired just because they have to do something. But I don't think as of now, Doc deserves to be fired. I mean, who knows what's happened in the playoffs? Maybe he'll make a bad mistake. But Doc has done a good enough job where if they lose an epic series in game seven to in the second round, I don't know. I'm not just firing them just to fire them.
Yeah. And actually, really, the parallel is sort of the 2019 season with Jimmy Butler and Brett Brown, and you know, I think a lot of people after the loss to the Celtics a year prior were like, well, if they don't at least get to the conference finals or finals, Brett is out of here. And then you watch how that second round series plays out, and Brett outcoached Nick Nurse for basically three quarters of the series and made important adjustments. The important adjustment he couldn't make is having the best player in the series, because Kawhi was going absolutely bananas against them. So that's, he ended up coming back, and that was a thing that would have been a surprise coming in. There were even reports in the middle of the series that if they didn't win it, that the Sixers were going to fire him. Like, Brett was under that level of pressure. I don't know if we'll get anything like that with Doc during the playoff run, but it's all about how it plays out. Like, if Joel gets hurt or James gets hurt or there's some excuse, then, you know, we could probably sit here and have some nuanced conversations about, well, should they run it back and just trust that the spine of what's here is going to be good enough. I just think that the psychological weight that will continue to weigh on the organization, if it just feels like for who, for what, after all this time that they haven't been able to do anything different, I think that's going to matter big time.
And I also think the part of the second round playoff losses that's really weighed on people is it doesn't feel like they've played their best and lost. It feels like they never play their best, and that's why they lose. The Raptors series was a good one, but the Hawks, right? It just, it feels like each time, the Heat last year, and Embiid's hurt, Harden doesn't play well, all those things. I think the feeling might be different in a second round loss if we watch it and we feel like they played great. Like, if they play great and we know it and they lose, I think the emotion will be different. So, all right, I have two.
I one quick point on that before you ask this last thing. I actually texted somebody yesterday because the Atlanta Hawks blew a 20-plus point lead against the Spurs yesterday. And I texted somebody and I said, the worst crime Ben Simmons committed was making people think that the Hawks are a serious team. Like, that's the one. That's the one that leaps out, right? That was your clear-cut opportunity to go to the conference finals. You're the number one seed. You have home court advantage. Atlanta is not very good.
Agreed.
And you have a home game seven. And Ben Simmons being a total basket case throughout that series is not the only reason they lost, which always has to be said, but it is the primary reason they lost, that Ben Simmons was just tiny in the spotlight.
He had a really, really series. Bad series.
And if you win that series and Joel at least has that one in the bag, then I mean, we can sit here and say there's not as much weighing on the organization or on Joel specifically. But because that one was lost specifically, I mean, you can go through the rest of them and say, hey, Joel was hurt last year against Miami and the bubble, Ben didn't play, and it's the bubble anyway, so who gives a shit? So they lost to Boston, but nobody really cares.
Right.
But then they lost to Boston, Ben's rookie year, and they basically should have gotten swept. They got kind of fortunate that they were not swept in that series. They lose in five despite Kyrie being out and all that. And so you just look back and look back and look back, and it's none of these are like, you don't look back favorably on the Sixers that they.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I think with the, and I hate to always tie it to the Eagles, but, you know, if you look at that Super Bowl, the Eagles played really well and they lost. And then people are going to be upset no matter what. But there's just a difference when you watch a game and you feel like they lost at their best and you feel like they came up small. And I think that's the frustration with the Sixers. It isn't so much that they're not winning. Clearly that is part of it. But it's just every time it feels like a different thing. So to your point, like, if Harden gets hurt or Embiid gets hurt, I'm actually almost less willing to run it back. I'm okay running it back if I feel they lose a series where they played really well and it just is what it is. They lost. That's what I think I need to see more than, to your point, like, if Joel or Harden gets hurt, then I'm like, this just isn't going to happen. They're always hurt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.